Welcome to We Mentor Mondays podcast with Nancy. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery. Learn something new from our stories today. Thanks for coming back for another session. We're continuing our process, our mentoring process here with Mary Hayes Greco, who's the author of Unconditional Forgiveness and The New Kitchen Mystic. And she is here taking Jennifer Nelson, who's a graphic designer, Graphies Artist is her company, and she's also a fine arts artist. And we have talked through the 8 steps of forgiveness, and we would just like to continue our conversation about the process, preparing Jennifer to go through the steps. Right now, we're bringing the audience in to our conversation that you've had on the air in prior mentoring sessions. So it would be good for them to listen to the first 5 sessions so that they have an understanding of kind of what you've been working through. And they'll get a sense, too, that I brought Mary in because it's a creative block that's been kind of building over a 2-year period, and you're ready to do something about it.
That's right. I would say at least 2 years and probably going back to about 4 years ago.
Okay.
And I think some of this work that I'd like to do with Mary is about forgiveness, because I find myself thinking about other things when I could be way more productive with both my graphic design as well as my fine art. I have found myself not producing.
Yeah, and that doesn't feel very good at all. It just feels like whatever's happening is in front of the work that you need to be producing, and now life feels hard, and you're feeling like, you know, I'd like to learn a different way to do this.
Yes.
And let go of what doesn't serve me anymore.
Right.
Okay, and Mary?
And we talked about in the 8 steps that the first, after some preparation, meaning, you know, kind of getting your head around what forgiveness is and isn't, and we should probably interject here that in my working definition of forgiveness is to release an expectation that's causing me to suffer. It's not about reconciling with the person. You don't have to kiss and make up. You don't have to get anyone to say they're sorry to anyone. It's not an interpersonal, it's intrapersonal. Mm-hmm. Meaning this is between you and you. Yeah. So, which is very freeing, actually. You can forgive and get a divorce. You can forgive and sue somebody. You can forgive and never see them again. That's fine. But you forgive so that you feel clear and free. And we talked in the last show about that, you know, you've noticed that you're kind of exhausted of this issue. That's often what brings people to step 1 in the 8 steps, is that, oh, I'm tired of myself.
Yes.
I'm so tired of my mind. I'm so tired of that chatter and that. I don't want to be this person that I'm being. Is that right?
That describes it very well.
Yeah. So would you say then you feel some kind of spark of will operating or kind of raising its head now, like, okay, let's do whatever we have to do?
Yeah,
here.
Because I really want to know what it is to forgive. Mm-hmm. Because I was telling Nancy in another session, I feel like I have forgiven. But when it comes up for me again, I realize I really haven't forgiven. Mm-hmm. And I don't maybe really know. I think there's something for me to learn still.
Yeah. Well, we're complex. We're more complex than our dogs and our cats and our goldfish. And we, you know, we have egos and we have layers of who we are. And the forgiveness process needs to address all the parts of us and all the parts of how we were impacted by this story. So step 2, we get to express our emotional truths about this person as if we are speaking to them. We have an empty chair in front of us, and we allow ourselves to drop into the full irritation or the full anger or sorrow or whatever it is. We allow ourselves to just kind of be in it all out, not trying to be outside of it, and giving it voice, you know. So if it feels like a weight in your chest or a lump in your throat or a, you know, strain in your forehead, you know, we start there, you know, we'll start there, and we imagine we're talking to this person and we say, the emotional truths, like you broke my heart, or I hate you, or you were a pitiful, you know, boss, or, you know, you were a lousy mother, or whatever emotional truths we need to say, we say them right out, you know. And when you did this, I wanted to scream. When you did that, when you didn't do that, I felt so lonely and left. And, you know, we just say these emotions out. And if there's tears coming, we take the time for them. We don't shut them down. We breathe and soften and cry more if there's more to cry. When we start to, when I see people kind of like shifting and kind of kicking their feet a little bit, you know, I get them to stomp their feet a few times while they say it, because there's an energy in there that wants to say, no, no, that you were stupid. You were a stupid idiot back then, and I won't have it, you know, to say that with those words of anger out. So, how do you think you are with your emotions when you're needing to let them out? Are you able to have a good cry or a good yell or a good thrash when it's time to feel some feelings?
Yes, I can do that. Mm-hmm. I can do that. I, you know, I'm getting a little choked up almost just listening to you talk about how it manifests in different people. And I was thinking that I think I carry it in my neck. I feel like I always have a stiff neck and tight shoulders, and my dental hygienist told me I might grind my teeth at night. Nobody's ever told me I do that, but I think that could explain the sort of tight jaw, maybe headaches that I get.
So you're becoming aware as we speak of where maybe you're carrying this,
this
block.
Yeah. Yes.
Good. Excellent. Good. So then as I continue to speak, I would encourage you to let that get bigger. And, you know, be with it, notice it, let it get more distinct, breathe with it, let it happen. And then when we get to the end of the full expression of the emotional truth about this story, we identify what do I need to let go of to be peaceful about this person? Sometimes it's very basic, like, you know what? I needed you to be a decent person. You know, some people are just really, you know, they just really act poorly a lot of the time, you know, and I needed you to be respectful to me. And you weren't, and I can't make you ever be respectful to me. And I now release my expectation that you will ever be respectful to me. We release trying to get our need met from that person who won't or can't meet
it. I think that's where the control issue comes in. You know, where people feel like when you're not getting your needs met, you it creates like this sense of desperation.
Well, we need our needs. Our needs are good.
Yeah.
Your needs are excellent. You have to have your needs met. But you can't maybe get them met with this person.
Yeah, and,
right?
And we are
open up to
trained to think
just
to get our needs met through, you know, like our mom or our dad.
Mom is supposed to be nurturing. Every dad is supposed to be protective and there. And every spouse is supposed to be faithful. And every child is supposed to be brilliant. And we have all these expectations that, you know,
aren't
disappointed.
True.
And they're blocking our ability to love that person as they are. And we need to love them as they are, but we don't need to hang out with them. We need to love them as they are, but we might need to not see them. And we love them from afar. That feels better to us than resentment. Resentment is wearing out your parts.
Yeah, when you when that person happens to be in your family, you get a lot of messages from people. It's like, in my case, it's like, oh, she's your mother.
Come on now. You need to work that out.
Yeah,
work that out. She's your mother. You have to be nice
to
her.
Whatever it takes. And it's like sometimes it's like what Nancy and I talked about in a former session. It's like there are some clients not worth having.
Yeah, right.
And in some cases, it's somebody in your family that might not be, I don't want to say they're not worth it, but not worth having a relationship
costs more
with
to have them.
Correct.
It takes it,
the
it takes
cost
it out of you.
The benefit,
right?
Of that
exactly. They're negative. They're toxic. They suck you dry. Whatever it is, as some relationships in our family, we can adjust our boundaries and get them better, and others we just need to keep it there. Just like, you know, I love you from afar. And I'm in an adult children of alcoholics support group. And one of the guidelines and I hear some terrible, terrible stories about parenting and non-parenting and in those groups. But one of the goals of being in that group and healing the child part of you completely is to get to the point with our parents that we expect nothing from them. We have only the strand of gratitude that they gave us life. They brought us here. They got me here. That's it. And that's fulfills the requirement for honor thy father and mother, is to be grateful. Be grateful that they got you here. Be grateful for anything that you can come up with that, you know, they did for you that was good. But you don't have to be in active relationship with them if it's not good. So I know a lot of people find that a relief. Different,
yep.
But a relief. So,
Jennifer, can you imagine that?
Imagine which part of it, sorry.
Where you can reach a point where you have no expectation.
Yeah, because I think I've gotten there with my father, and that might be an interesting session for us to have together too, because I haven't mentioned my father. I think what I'm dealing with is with my mother. And I think I got there before he passed, but then when he passed and I didn't think I could have any more feelings about it, I ended up in with more of sort of an upside and some warm feelings and sort of remembering some of the good
gifts,
things about him as compared with when he was alive, and there were some, you know, terrifying situations. There were some, you know, there was some violence, and there was alcohol too. And so you've reminded me too that it's like I've never done adult children of alcoholics. Now, could I or should I have done that?
It's pretty gritty stuff.
Yeah,
it's not for the weak.
Yeah,
I'm not saying you're weak.
No.
It's you really do face into
stories,
a lot of,
you mean, Mary?
Well, really facing into the full. Effects of neglect and abuse is very painful. And it's kind of a slow and gritty process. It does yield to healing, you know, very much so, but you have to stick with it. That's why a lot of ACA meetings are ill-attended. You know, a lot of people come once or twice and then I can't stand this. There's so much pain in the room. But if you get a good group where there's a lot of recovery in the room, then, you know, it's helpful. So we've been talking about the feelings and the expectations and the boundaries. You know, this is you, this is me, and, you know, you're over there, I'm over here, and I don't need to carry your influence in my space anymore, your energy in my space anymore. And I'm going to open up to my source, my spiritual source. What kind of way do you frame that for yourself? Do you have a way of thinking of your divine source?
Well, I like when you described it as open up to life again, for one. And then I also think of, you know, my higher self, whoever's in there.
Yeah.
I would like to be open to that again, not to mention my creative source or self.
Which is right there with your higher self, I think, probably. Yeah, okay. So that's the kind of language that you would be comfortable with for me to say higher self or opening up to life. So step five, we're opening up to life again to truly get what I need now going forward. And then as we do step six, we're opening up to my higher self, which we're going to visualize as like a sun, you know, like a beautiful sphere of light floating over the head, and that we can open up the crown of the head, which in subtle energy world is called the crown chakra, the crown center. We imagine bringing that energy of love and light and healing from the higher self down into the personal self, and then continuing onward to the next step of sending some of that to the person we're forgiving and releasing them and releasing ourselves from them. And then we're usually able to see the good, to see what was good about what they did give us or what they, you know, what I learned, you know, by getting through the situation. If you don't do that last step, it doesn't quite take. You only have to go through all the steps, and then it's miraculous. It just dissolves. It's out of your system. It's not there next week.
You know? Yeah, that place of gratitude, you have to reach it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it just comes. You know, there's a lot of forgiveness methods out there, and some of them will have you journal your arm off, you know, expressing compassion for the person you're mad at. And or trying to understand their story, and I could never do that. I'm just so prone to hate. You know, I'm just so ready to hate somebody if they've been bad to me.
Yeah,
I need to go right through the hate first.
Yeah,
I need to go right into that primal, you know, abandonment and upsetness, and express it really raw. And later on, what I found is after you do these spiritual steps, the gratitude comes, the understanding comes, the compassion comes. It's like, oh,
you know,
I get
what
it.
I wasn't aware of was the physical part mm-hmm. to the degree. I think that that's what was missing and what I feel is missing for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Like you were mentioning, that's why I was like, oh, there's more to what you're saying than like you can write out how you forgive the person. I can state out exactly what happened to me.
But the body is still remembering it and the emotions are still like a cloud in there if you haven't had a chance to express them straight on.
And the other thing is the validation and the witness. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody witnessing my story of what really happened mm-hmm. and validating that these feelings are that raw mm-hmm. and that real. Mm-hmm. And that's why you're taking the process private, because those are the raw feelings that you don't want everyone to have access to. I mean, that's why we edit books, mm-hmm. you know, before we put it out to the masses. I mean, in reality TV, they've got a lot of couples therapies and all, and you're seeing people totally at their worst, but they're edited out with just parts of it. So you get like these pieces of their lives that are kind of pulled together mm-hmm. in a way that you don't really understand the person, because you don't really get how they got from one part of the therapeutic process to the other.
Right.
You see some shifting going on, but it's kind of, I think it's confusing.
I think that's why people like in the workshop, there's people who just really don't think they can forgive. They just like, you know, I need to, but I just don't see how I'm going to do this. I don't know. But then they see this other person, this obviously a good person, you know, who's really got a terrible story and a lot of pain. And they see me work with them for 45 minutes with the loving attention of the group. And they see them emerge.
Yeah.
And they've watched the whole journey. And they see the before and after picture, like, oh my God, I wish I took a picture of you before and after, because people's posture changes, you know,
their
complexion tone changes, everything shifts because you've dropped that burden. And then those people in the workshop are like, well, you know, I can do it. I can do that. If she could do that, I can do mine. You know,
right.
Like
it's empowering.
We need to know that it's, yeah, that
That's
it's doable.
Good, yeah, exactly, Mary. And, all right. What are you thinking at this point, Jennifer?
I'm thinking I so badly want to believe that all this can happen, because I feel like I could get there and share and purge and mm-hmm. get my feelings out and forgive. Mm-hmm. And I really do have the will to do so.
Yeah.
But I feel like it'll be only until the next time something hooks me, because that person is alive and ongoing. And I won't say that she reoffends. But I will say that,
that's,
you know, there's something
concern
that
people have, and it's a real concern, especially if you live close in with that person. But what I'd like to share is that you'll be surprised.
Okay,
you'll
good.
Be surprised that you actually, where you used to go, you now are standing on a neutral piece of ground under your feet, and you're not, and it's not rising the way it always rose. It's, you know, maybe it starts to rise, and then you kind of go, I don't care. You know, you feel the neutrality come right with you. If a person is really doing abusive things again and again, well, then you have to be talking to yourself about, you know, why do I put myself in the line of fire with this person? Why do I have to stay married to this person? Do I have to see this person or not? You know, can I have a stern boundary? Or is it someone I'm sort of stuck with, you know, for the long term? Then, you do this big forgiveness once, and the next time you see them, you'll be surprised that you're neutral. And maybe they do something that you forgave, and you kind of go, huh, well, that's what she does. Actually, that's what she does. I think I'm going to go now, but it didn't bother me that much. Or they do something you forgot to talk about in the forgiveness session, and then you're mad, and you go, oh, I forgot to forgive that part.
Yeah.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
I'm going to do the 8 steps on that thing. You know,
yeah.
So it's actually just it's a matter of being very thorough. It's kind of funny. It's kind
yeah,
of like
it
a
is.
Real, it's almost like flossing your teeth. You know, you don't just do a quarter of the mouth and go, okay, I'm good. You know, you have to floss the whole mouth. You have to like get into the details. And that's why it never works when people go, well, you know, I forgive you or I forgive them. No, the mind is a detailed creature and it wants, hey, well, what about this? Well, what about that? Well, what about the time they said this? Oh, no, what about that? You have to address the details and say what it is you wished was true instead, and then let go of that expectation.
Yeah. What I recently learned is that our brain is wired for story.
Mm-hmm.
And in place of facts, we make up a whole lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we fill in the blanks.
And,
yeah,
exactly. In which we might be the victim or the hero or something in between.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or so many times I think to myself, why do I really think that poorly of myself that I put myself in that position where, you know, I know that this person acts this way and I know that they're going to talk down about me or at me or pull me aside and tell me, you know, what a lousy person I am. Why do I put myself in that position? And then once I've done the forgiveness stuff, then I'm like, I look at it more like a challenge. Like, how can I go to this person when I talk with them? And let's say they corner me and I'm like, yeah, cornered me again, you know? But then I'm like, oh, well, let me see how fast I can get out
of
it.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of fun. Like, I, you know, my editor made me call the book Unconditional Forgiveness because I got kind of zealous and born again about it. You know, I'm like, bring it on, whatever it is, I'm gonna live this way. I'm gonna live in this way of being, of loving life and loving life realistically, you know, as it is, people as they are, traffic jams as they are, workplace drama as it is. Love it all, you know. And I got kind of, you know, athletic about it after a while. And you know, forgive your terrible neighbor. Forgive, you know.
Yeah, I remember your neighbor in the book.
Everyone has a terrible neighbor.
In your podcast.
Yes.
Yeah, and you called the
Well, I finally made my peace with her when I realized she was a troll.
And storytelling. You think of trolls are never happy.
Well, you're like, you know, you don't expect a troll to be friendly. You don't expect them to be neighborly and want to cooperate. You expect them to be grumpy and snarly, you know? Yeah. So when she's grumpy and snarly, I think, troll, you know? But I do it with humor, you know?
And instead of angst.
Yeah.
And I think that that's
And
the
I
whole...
don't expect her to be a good neighbor.
Yeah.
She's just not... doesn't have the material for it.
Well, that's the whole gratitude and living with joy. Like, you know, a person wants to be in that place where they're feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
They're feeling gratitude and joy. And when you feel it, you know, okay, I know when I'm not feeling it. And now I have the skills to get back to it. But it takes, you know, a consciousness that I'm surprised about. But I mean, like with yoga, like I was at yoga today, we did two sessions. One was a restorative yin, to just kind of center myself and ground myself in a place where I'm feeling more joy and energetic.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, and I try to leave it on the mat, whatever it is for that day.
Nice.
Yeah. But it's amazing how much reminding we need.
Yes. The easiest thing we can do is forget. But one of the things that people are concerned about with forgiveness work is they're afraid, you know, it's going to be back the next day. It's, you know, she's going to do that again. I'm going to be the same. I'm going to have the same reaction.
I did all this. I felt these deep feelings.
Right, but
and I'm going to feel
fact,
that again.
The thing is, you know, you can't just will it out. You can't just pray it out. You can't just vent it out. You have to do all these things, all these 8 steps. If you do them all, it dissolves. It actually falls apart and leaves your space as a formation. And so the next time the trigger comes, there's nothing in you that's meeting it. There's you in you with your new attitude meeting it.
And which I'm not there yet.
Yeah,
because
attitude.
Well, we haven't done the whole 8 steps yet either. But there was some question about whether my mother was going to show up in an event today. And I talked to a friend about it and said, you know, I'm not sure about this, blah, blah, blah. And she said, kill her with kindness. And I just thought, well, I want to kill her. Not literally, but with kindness is going to be the hard part. But it's like, I'm just so like,
you want to
send
her mind bullets.
You know, it would be so disingenuous to,
yeah,
you know, and that's what I'd be doing. I'd be killing her with kindness, not any kind of real.
And she'd be getting the different
kindness.
Energy.
You
she'd
bet.
Be getting your anger and not the gesture.
So,
yeah.
It was just advice, and I didn't take it seriously. But when I do look at it seriously, I go, "That's exactly what I wanted to do." Is really sort of annihilate, with whatever tool that is.
Yeah,
if it's quote unquote kindness,
go away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good stopping point. I think that we really did a good job of kind of walking through the process several times from a different perspective and a different place. And what I'd like is to see if you would like to come back after you're finished with this, after a while, and give us the audience an update.
The post-op report.
Yes, the post-op report. How did the surgery go?
I think I can commit to that, I think.
And then we'll pull Kim in for a session too with you and her. Yeah, Kim is Jennifer's partner.
My partner.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, she's been here for a mentoring session as well, several. So we're kind of going deeper into the work so that they can make some really positive changes in their life that they're feeling like they're ready for.
Nice.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
Yeah. Well, thanks for being here, Mary, and
thank you, Mary, for sharing this with us.
And Jennifer, thank you, too, for being so courageous and willing to take a look at this creative block. Everybody has them, and they show up in different ways, in different places, in different parts of our bodies. We have different thoughts about them, but we all, get anchored in the past in different ways. And it just depends upon, how long we want to pull the anchor before we release it. But I think the reason I'm sharing this in Mary's work is because she's doing amazing work. And you're right about doing the physical part. You know, you can't skip the physical part because it's about the energy. It's about your chakras. It's about getting realigned.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't skip any of the steps. We have to go all the way through. It's like going to the dentist when they, every time the hygienist says, "Oh, you do some cleaning really good over here and then not so great in the back," and then they do the thorough job. But I need somebody else to do that thorough job. And for the first time to really experience a deep level of forgiveness, you need somebody to help walk you through the process.
Mm-hmm.
And then because it's scary. And it's in these feelings. I mean, I'm surprised at how strong I feel. Or when someone has someone close to them die, I mean, you're overwhelmed with these feelings that you've never had before, or you're not familiar with. You've seen in other people. You might have experienced some of it. But, it takes a lot to kind of get to know ourselves. And so this process helps us understand what true unconditional forgiveness is, so that we can be in places with people where we can unconditionally love them and feel better longer, for longer periods of time.
Right.
And I love what you read, Nancy, from Mary's book last time about
joy.
I remember hearing about joy and how generative that is, of course. But prior to that, it was something about winter ending. And I loved the fact that it was like, I want the winter to end. So, for the joy and the generative stuff to
the
come
earth
into
turning its face towards the sun.
That.
Yeah.
And just prior to that, something about, winter. It was.
Yeah. She's a beautiful writer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. And Mary, we shall, who knows? We'll see what happens from here.
You've got my number.
And you know my name.
Yes.
Okay. And where you live.
Yes. Mike, thanks for helping us out today. Mike Cabea, our sound engineer.
Thank you, Mike.
All right. And we'll see you next Monday. Stay tuned.